Welcome to the New Life Millbrook Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about this podcast or other resources, please visit nlmillbrook.com.
God Almighty, who has everything, He has no need of anything at all, loves us so much. Y'all go ahead and be seated. I mean, just to meditate upon His love. I mean, I don't know as we'll ever be able to totally comprehend what His love is. Thank you, Ken. You know, singing that song about our affections towards Him, what about His towards us? We're going to dip into a little bit of that today. And, hallelujah. I want to welcome those on line this morning on Facebook, and those are listening by podcast. Glad you could be with us, and we want to lift up some people this morning that are not able to be with us because of illnesses in their body and so forth, and be traveling. So let's just go ahead and let's pray. Father, we just thank You and we praise You this morning. For those that are having to deal with symptoms this morning, Lord, we speak health and healing to their bodies. And Lord, we thank You that we find in Your Word that You revealed to us through even the Acts of Paul and Peter and so forth that they spoke the word, and Your word was more powerful than distance. You said for us to lay hands upon them, but just by faith. And so we speak now words of faith, of healing towards those physical bodies right now in Jesus' name. We thank You for safety for those that are traveling. And Lord, we just praise You this morning for Your presence here in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. My wife, Marcia, she's not feeling 100% this morning. And in the day that we live in, she's got this little allergy cough and a little tired. I said, we'll just stay home, you know. And she said, well, I was anyway. So, you know, we were in agreement. And it's good to be in agreement with your wife, right? All the men said amen anyway. They better said amen or they got elbowed in the ribs, I'm sure. But, you know, we've got some that are traveling as well. Bob's out of town and been able to do a little vacationing, I think. And Mr. Horn, he came by the other day. We talked for a little bit. And so we've been ministering on the kingdom. But I want to back up a little bit, maybe about 9 months. If we could, because see, we need to constantly remind ourselves of some things of where God's taking us and all. And you know, at the beginning of the year, when we first came up to the year 2020, it was kind of amazing that it seemed like the entire world was looking at 2020 as a year of vision, a year of clarity. I mean, if you wear glasses like I do, my distance vision is fine. But up close, guess what? It's just not there, and like it used to be. And so I have to have glasses in order to read, and if I try to walk based upon the prescription part of the reading, you know what happens? I trip all over myself. You know, I'm like real careful going downstairs because, either I'll be better off walking by habit than by vision if I have to look through the wrong lens. And how many of you know a lot of times in church, Christians walk by habit and not by lenses because their lenses that they see through are wrong. Maybe I say it that way. They see things wrongly. And at the same time, there's people who walk by a lens that is clear instead of by habit. And that's called the lens of faith. Amen? And so this morning, I want to just touch base a little bit about that. You know, how many of you realize that 2020 is not over? It's not over. And if I've learned anything over the years, you know, it's been that things are worth waiting for are good. Amen. And the first of the year, we was talking about vision and what is the vision that you have for your life and different things like that. And everybody was pumped up and excited about it. And it's going to be some clarity brought to it, and you'll be able to see it clearly. And that's good. God wants that for you. He puts desires in our heart. There's nothing wrong with your desire if it lines up with the Word of God. And so you set out to do something, and guess what happened? It seemed like things were rolling along pretty good there to about February. A lot of talk and chatter in the air about a thing called coronavirus and things, but it wasn't here. So really, people in our country didn't pay much attention to it. And then all of a sudden, about towards the end of February, they had taken notice real quick-like, because it was affecting people here in our own country. As long as it was a half a world away, it didn't seem to bother anybody. But when it got here and we saw the impact that it was having upon our neighbors, upon the economy, upon people's health and our nation, then it started, we got our attention. And so the attention of our vision seemed to have changed from what we were believing God for and where we were standing to a place of well, what do we do now? And the whole country, and a matter of fact, the whole world was kind of up in the air, didn't know anything about this virus, what it was going to do or anything else. So it consumed everybody's time. It was a distraction. But at the same time, it was a good thing, because it quarantined a lot of people who, I'm one of them, are tired of being quarantined. Is that true? I mean, at first we didn't mind. I mean, it's like, okay, we'll isolate, we'll separate, we'll spend a couple of weeks at home, we'll spend some time with our family, and we'll get out the Monopoly game and maybe a puzzle or two, and we'll do some things like that. And then next thing you know, people are tired of doing that. They want to go about their old way of life, what they were doing. And the thing I want to bring out is this about vision. I was been meditating on it. I said, God, what is exactly, since it's gone into it, we're in the 10th month of this year, more of this vision. I want to understand more about it. He says, well, you know, Alan, he said, life has a lot of distractions. Anybody here besides me have been distracted? Everybody here has. And so we can go about our normal life and be distracted, and so distracted that we have habits that we pick up in our lives. In other words, a behavior. That we behave a certain way. We begin to start living a certain way, although we know something different. We know better, but we live this way, and it's a habit we picked up real quick, like, because we've been doing it so long. So it may be that you've become busy, but you know that you ought to eat healthy, but yet because of time's sake and being distracted and things going on, you begin to stop at McDonald's and Hardee's and Sonic and all those places on a daily basis, knowing that that's not the food that you ought to be eating on a daily basis. How many of you know it's okay to do it occasionally, but I wouldn't recommend eating at one of those places every single day. But yet we can do that. It can become a habit because of our time frame, our what we have going on and being pushed. And so as we live our lives, we may know that we ought to be doing one thing, like serving the Lord with all of our heart and soul, but yet we get busy. Yeah, well, I'm going to do that tomorrow. Or we can begin to live our life knowing the truth, but yet not doing the truth, and not even realize that we're not doing it because we know it. We can quote it, but yet we're not doing it. And through this time of the quarantine and being able to take some time back and take a look at it, we should all have come to a place where we recognize that thing about it. Where are we now that we're not distracted? Where really are we? I noticed that the church at first, as a whole, the body of Christ, when they were told that they were staying home, that they weren't allowed to come to church, they didn't like it. They got mad. Some of them got mad that didn't even come to church anyway. You know, people were upset. You're taking my rights away, but they didn't use or exercise those rights. They just still didn't come, you know. So here it is now. They were upset and so forth, and I watched that. And do you realize after 2 months of being quarantined and not having church services, and I would come in here and look at this little Mevo thing here and talk to you that way, but these chairs were all empty. I felt like I can't hardly handle this. This is ridiculous, you know. But nevertheless, it was for a season, and that's what we'll do. So we did that, but after 2 months of establishing those type of habits of coming to church in your jammies, getting up and going to the restroom in the middle of the service, and stopping in their kitchen, getting something to eat or drink and so forth, that type of thing. Or then they start opening up other things, and you spend 2 months, 8 weeks of your life living a different thing. Now, you have created new habits. Think about it. Because I understand that I think it's 21 days of something you begin doing something. After 21 days, it is now your behavior. Now, you may know that's not your behavior that you should have, but yet it's become your behavior. You follow me? And so we need to really take a good look at ourselves, because there's a lot of times we know what the word says, but yet we're doing something different, but out of habit, because we've changed. We did something different. And it's now become our norm instead of what was before. In the meantime of all of these things happening, guess what happened? Right away, we have a mess in our country taking place where they want to topple statues and disrupt and riot and loot and all kind of things. And so people's attention got distracted towards that. It was always like a moving distraction so that you would never see yourself for who you really are. I'll say that again. All of these distractions taking place, all the way from the beginning of COVID all the way to today, all of these distractions are set forth to keep you from recognizing and seeing who you really are. Now, I love this about Holy Spirit, because Jesus sent Holy Spirit because we had need of Him. But His main purpose is to introduce us to us. I'll say that again. Holy Spirit is the revealing one, and He introduces us to us. Because, see, there's times when we think we are this way because we have knowledge of it, yet we're not living that way we're living over here. We know to do this, but yet we do this, and never realize that we're not really doing what we know. So in all of this quarantine and not being able to do this and do that, guess what happens? We should have come to a place, because we've been before the Lord, and say, you know, Lord, what's going on? He said, well, I'm glad you asked. I want to show you some things. Look at you, how you think about this, how your perception is, how you're perceiving things. And so let's talk about some of these things. And it's important, because what He'll do, He'll start revealing to you, yes, you know what the Word says, but yet you're choosing to do this. And the vision that you had at the beginning of the year, I would like to see come to pass in your life. But it's not going to happen because you've got these habits in your life here instead of the ones that you know you should have, and it's not going to work. How many of you realize that discipline, I know most people don't like that word, but discipline will always trump intelligence. Discipline will always trump talents and giftings. There's a lot of people that are talented, a lot of people that are gifted, a lot of people that's just super smart, got a lot of intelligence, but they're not disciplined. Even back when I was in grammar school, I understood, I got a hold of this, that if I live a disciplined life, I'll have a step up over those that won't. And I have friends that graduated with me from high school, went off to college, did different things, and guess what? You people here know that you're not the smartest people, right? You're not the smartest one in the world. I mean, you may have a high IQ, but you're not it. There's always somebody who's going to be better, right? And the same with talents and other things. But it's the disciplined person that will progress, the disciplined person that will continue. And it's amazing that even in the Bible speaks of, and His disciples, which comes that word from discipline, right? It says, if you continue in My word, in other words, Me, because Jesus is the Word, if you continue in Me, then you will be My disciples. That it's going to take discipline to continue in the Word. Are you following me? And so we set forth habits in our lives, and that becomes what we're disciplined about doing instead of what the Word says. And you know, here it is, God's revealing to us our nature. He's revealing to us, although we are sons and daughters of the King, our old culture, our old nature is what we've been living by. And He says, I want you to have what you got there, a desire in your heart, but you're not going to be able to obtain it with those old habits, those old beliefs, the old culture. He said, I want you to have it. You're my children. And so we see through the word that there was a culture that's out there in the world. They tried to, it's always evolving. And they had the one back when they were toppling statues. They were saying, we're going to counsel culture. In other words, we're going to change the way things are. But it's always changing. And they were saying it was no good. So what they were going to do, and their intentions is to bring a new culture, whether you like that one or not, and said, this is one we'll have. But Jesus said, you know, I've got a culture that I want you to know about. It's called a kingdom culture. Because when he came to earth, what did he do? He preached the kingdom, he taught the kingdom, and he demonstrated the kingdom. For 3.5 years that he was walking about, guess what? That's what he did. No matter where he went, he was always teaching a kingdom culture. In other words, this is how the kingdom operates. This is how the kingdom behaves. He told him, even John the Baptist, he says, repent, for the kingdom, God and God's way of doing things is at hand. There's a culture that we need to be paying attention to. And we can end up walking around, we've got a American culture or a Chinese culture, whatever it may be, wherever you may be from, and that's not the kingdom culture. Now, the great thing about it is we can all have kingdom culture and live in all the different countries. Because the Bible tells us that we're not of this world, but we're in this world. Amen? Because our citizenship, once you're born again, is of the kingdom. And he said, old things are passed away. The old culture, the way we used to do things, is gone. Behold, all things are new. A new culture, a new way of living, a new way of believing, a new way of thinking, new habits, new behavior is set before you. And Paul went through a lot of that explaining through the book of Romans about how there seemed like there was always a war that was going on within him. He knew what to do, but yet he kept finding his body dominating his thinking and choosing to do what he didn't want to do. He didn't want to do it, but yet he kept doing it. And there was a war going on. And the same thing is takes place in our lives. When revelation becomes open to us and we see God's perfect will about things, guess what? We've got to fight. We see it, we know this is true, but yet we keep living this way. So guess what results we keep getting? The wrong results. Although our eyes have been open to what God has for us, we keep living this way. Now, the sad thing about that would be this. If you're not careful, you'll start trying to explain the King, our Father, Jesus, being King of Kings. We'll try to explain his behavior and the way he is based upon our experience, when our experience might be based on our unbelief. Thank you for your enthusiasm this morning. I just really feel great this morning. I'm talking truth to you. I have seen people and heard people express that very thing. Well, this is what I believe. Well, it doesn't make any difference if that's what you believe. What did the Word say? What does God say? Because that's the truth. Well, my Aunt Susie, that's being... Now you're going to tell me the kingdom's based upon Aunt Susie and what she experienced. It's not. The only thing that I'm interested in hearing out of you as far as the truth, if I'm looking for kingdom, if I'm looking for an answer, is based upon the Word. So if your experience lines up with the Word, I'm happy and excited to hear your testimony. But to hear someone stand there and say, well, you know, I don't believe God does this, you know, when his Word says he does... Well, you know, just like that. Well, everybody believes God loves everybody, you know. Well, I don't think so. Look at my life. God surely doesn't love me. If he loved me, I wouldn't have had this problem. I wouldn't have had that problem. And I've heard people say that. God doesn't love me. Yet we see in the scriptures that God so loved the world, he did what? He gave his only begotten son so that he'd have life. And so thousands of years before you were ever born, don't tell me he didn't love you. Yet, well, I don't experience that. Now, whose fault is that? Are you hearing me? I imagine you heard my iPad go off too. All right. So we've been going over the kingdom. And the first couple of weeks, we've gone over a few different areas. about the kingdom culture, but we've gone, Lord went back and said, let's talk about kingdom and the culture of the kingdom. And I made mention, I think the first week, just going to touch base and we're going to go over some citizenry today. But if, you know, the thing is, if we don't understand the kingdom of God properly, then we're going to misrepresent the kingdom. And that's what happens when we talk about Aunt Susie and her experience. What we teach is our experience, which it can be religion, although it's not the truth. And that's what happens when we don't understand the kingdom, which is the king. And one of the things that I did want to make mention of before we go any farther with that is the fact that, we'll get to that later. First thing about the kingdom we made mention of was about being born again. Amen. We talked about being born again. Jesus said if you can't even see or you can't know the kingdom of God until you're born again. We went over that about how he said that in John 3:3. And then in John, and Nicodemus said, well, how can a man enter his mother's womb a second time? And he said to him in John 5, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So we want to enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. If you've been born again, guess what? You have now entered into the kingdom of God. So we talked about that being a key to understand. And the second key we brought out, we're not going to go over all of those things, but it was obedience is greater than sacrifice. God's more interested in you being obedient than he is you giving up something or you sacrificing or doing without. And then we began to start about understanding the kingdom. Because if you don't understand the kingdom and how a kingdom functions, then it's always going to be difficult for us to understand things in the scripture about God's nature. You know, God being that he is the king might be difficult sometimes for us to understand who lives in a country where we get to vote. See, next month on the 3rd we have an election. I don't know when we'll really know who won, when it'll actually come forth. But I do know this, that while we're here on this earth, we live in a country where we get to choose who is going to oversee and help manage to run our country. But when we get to heaven, it doesn't work that way. And we say, well, we doesn't need to work that way because he's a perfect God. Well, he's not going to be, he's perfect now. He's not going to be perfect God because you got there. He's perfect now. So as we live here in this country, we should understand, okay, let's exercise our right and we will vote. And personally, I'm going to vote according to what the word says. Because both of the guys have got bad things in their life, okay? Just, you know, kind of like you and me. There's areas of our lives that need to be worked upon as well. But I'm going to vote according to what their background is as far as where their stance is according to the Bible. Lay it side by side. Well, this is the way I'm going to vote. I'm not here to tell you how to vote. But I assure you this, that once it's done, we'll go from there, okay? And I'm not going to tell you my outlook on which way I think it's going to go. Won't make any difference. But I already know who I'm voting for. But as we were talking about the kingdom, and we need to know how the kingdom functions. How do kingdoms function? And in our country, that's hard for us to comprehend sometimes. Because we don't like it, we'll vote them out. And when you get to heaven, you're not going to be able to vote God out. Well, I think we need to have a big block party in heaven. Well, we can be drinking and doing all kind of stuff. No, that's not going to happen. Well, we'll just get rid of God. They tried that one time before. Didn't work. Didn't go well for him. Him and a third of the angels. But our thinking here is somewhat misconstrues the understanding of how a kingdom actually works. And so we talked about some of the kingdoms and the kingdom components, and we made mention the first week about the kingdom and how you can know the king by his surrounding, his kingdom, about his different things. And went over, talked a little bit one Sunday morning, probably more than I should have, about the Biltmore, seeing as that George Washington Vanderbilt built the Biltmore, and he died 100 years ago, okay? And but yet you can know some things about him and about his life and the way he thought and the way he perceived money, the way he perceived different things, by going and walking around in his mansion and or his summer home is what it was, and to go with, you can see things and learn things through that. And the same is true about us and God. You can learn about the King and who he is by looking at his word, looking at his creation, seeing how he goes about doing things. How many of you realize that gravity has not, you know, lessened it at all? It still works. The laws of electricity still work. Because he's perfect God. Planets have not just jumped off orbit and went crazy. No, he's the supreme authority over all of it. So we can learn about who God is, who the King is, through his kingdom, by viewing the kingdom. And that's what we were going over when we were talking about the Biltmore and so forth. We can begin to know the King through his kingdom, but we also know it through his word, because his word in him is the same. And we went over a little bit about that last week. All authority flows from the King, and the word is of the King is always supreme. We saw that in Esther, where they wouldn't reverse the decision that he'd already made, even though the king should have been paying attention, he didn't. And so they slipped in a bad law. And when the truth came out, he says, rewrite another law, and I will stamp it with my seal of approval, basically, and that will become the law. I can't do away with the other one, but we can overrule that particular one. And so that was good to understand. Last week, we talked a little bit about the territory, the dominion of the king, and we see that he has authority to exercise dominion over everything, since he is the creator of everything. He has total authority. And we went over last week about over in Psalms 24, it says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. And so we see that he made it all, and it all belongs to him. There's nothing that doesn't belong to him. And then we saw the second part of it. It says, the world, they that dwell in. The verse 2 goes over there to explain that God created, when he says the world, after he already said the earth, that the world and everything about it was set into motion to prosper. How many of you realize that oak trees are still producing oak trees? Yeah. Corn is still producing corn. God didn't jump up and said, we've got a corn shortage down there. I need to go do something. I need to go make some more corn. Everything was already set into motion. And so we see that the earth is the Lord's, and everything that the world has produced, the earth has produced since the very beginning when he planted it. Are you following me? And so God is a God of prosperity. He's a God that produces. He's not a God that's always going less, but greater. And we could see that. Matter of fact, the Message translation in Psalms 89:11 says that God owns everything from the smallest of atoms to archangels. He created them. Now, I think that it's an awesome thing to realize that when he turned around and said, now let us make man in our image. But see, we, because we see things from a fallen state, that's that perception again, looking through the wrong lens. We see man not from where God created him, but from where he is. He said, let us make man in our own image and in our likeness and so forth. So God created male and female and so forth. We look at that and we say, because we see through a fallen state, that God created servants. No. He created sons. Are you hearing me? He was creating royalty, not slaves and servants. Angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to man. We don't need any servants. Okay? God wasn't looking for another servant. He has plenty of beings that are serving him and us. Because we were created as royalty from the foundation, from the very get-go. And we have to get to understanding that's what Jesus came and did, was restored us back to that. Yet we walk around looking through the wrong lenses, seeing things from a fallen state, although we know what the Word says. Somewhere between the two, we've got to grab a hold of saying, Lord, I know this is what you said, and now I'm going to live according and think according to what your word says instead of what I see and hear on planet Earth. Because the word is supreme. The king is always supreme. Amen? So we talked about the archangels, and I mean not the archangels, but the territory and so forth. And we went over about how he has authority over the planets, the solar systems, to the point where he caused the whole thing to stop. The sun stopped for an entire day, and no planets flew off of their orbit. In other words, the whole solar system stopped because the Earth just couldn't stand still and the rest of everything else keep going. You follow what I'm saying? And so the whole thing, and then we saw over there with King Hezekiah that not only did he stop it all, but he backed it up 10 degrees. Hello. Because he's all powerful. He's all supreme. He can do that. And then we wonder if he can pay our power bill on Friday. Huh? And so last week I made mention of it because I'd given a list of things about kingdoms and how they consist. And the Constitution, I will just go ahead and briefly touch base on it. Constitution is the covenant of a king with its citizens. How many of you know that that is to be called the blood covenant is one of those. And it expresses the mind and the will of the king for his citizens and the kingdom. So the Constitution, which is the covenant of a king to its citizens, expresses his mind, his will towards his citizens of the kingdom. So if you want to know what God's Constitution is and how he feels about you, if you'll read his word, read his covenants, you will find that you'll find out. See, the Bible contains the constitution of the kingdom of God, which details his will, his purpose. And how many of you know it's not a book of rules? It's a book of promises. It's a book of promises. And we need to understand this is a book of promises from our Creator and Redeemer to his sons, his citizens. Amen? And so we're going to go over into the area of citizens, and as we do that, I want you to understand that when God said, and let man have dominion, that word dominion would come, its root word is domain, and they're just kind of like synonymous, they work together. He's to have dominion, he's to have rule over these things. Let him have dominion, let him have rule over the earth. Now, I know some of you might be saying, well, I can't even tell fire ants to leave my yard. And so this might seem like, well, that's just far-fetched. It won't obey me. Well, you've got to get the understanding that you are the authority of it and know that that's where your position is. Psalms 115 says this. Can you pull that up? Psalms 115, well, verse 15. I don't have it written out, so I want to make sure I say it right. Okay. It says, you are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. Verse 16. Did you put 16 up there, please? It says, the heavens, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. So he gave us the earth. Are you hearing me? And this is going back to the very beginning, before there was sin. And so too many times our thinking, the way we go about it, is all based upon failure, sin, right? Instead of restoration, what Jesus, the work he did when he came, restoring us back to our rightful place. And so we need to understand that. So the earth is ours. God's purpose was to establish a family of sons. Say that with me. God's purpose was to establish a family of sons. You see, God's purpose was not to establish more servants. God's purpose was not to establish a bunch of subjects that roamed around the world doing work. God's purpose was to establish a relationship with people, his sons, not a religious system of do's and don'ts. That was never been God's intentions. Man was created to exercise dominion over the earth and all of its creatures. That's what it's written right there in Genesis. We're not going to take the time to go back and look at that. But that's what it was all about. Everything was made first, and then at the very end, he said, let us make man. And God loves us so much that the whole reason we went over this last week, that the earth, that all of the solar system exists is for planet earth, because it has an effect on planet earth. And the only reason planet earth is even here is because of man. If there's no man, there's no need for planet earth. Because it was all made, not just the earth itself, but all the things that's upon the earth was made for man. The very clothes you wear, the food that you eat, the cars you drive, every single thing that humanity ever has need of, from the very beginning, before Adam, to the last person here, till Jesus returns, or whatever, guess what? It was all provided before he said, let us make man in our image. Everything was set into motion. Everything. Every tree continues to produce the same tree, the seed being within itself. Everything is that way. So that should help you in wondering or not whether God's going to answer your prayers. He's already provided whatever you have need of. It's not something that you're going to have to work for. You can't work for it. You receive it. Because that's what sons do. Slaves work for it. But we're citizens of the kingdom. So the king, and being citizens of the kingdom, citizens live under the rule or the reign of the king. If you're going to be a citizen of heaven, you live under the reign of God. If you're going to be a citizen of our country, you're supposed to live under our Constitution and those that govern our country. That's the way it's supposed to be. Citizenship is not a right, but it's a privilege. It's a privilege. And is a result of the king's choice. See, King Jesus, he chose for it to be this way. So it's a privilege for us to be able to be part of the kingdom. It's not a right. We have rights because of it. But it's a privilege to be that way. Many people all over the world seek to come to our country. Why? Because of the benefits and the privileges that our country has for its citizens. Man, it's so blessed that now they're wanting to give those same rights and privileges to people who do not want to adhere to the Constitution, to adhere to what we are as citizens. They just show up and, well, we're just going to give them the same things. Then why would somebody want to become a citizen if they're just going to get it? You see, earth may operate that way. Doesn't work that way in heaven. I mean, Jesus made it perfectly clear. You're not born again if you didn't become a citizen. That's it. You don't get in. You don't get in. I don't care who's president. Doesn't work that way. The king is obligated to take care and to protect its citizens. He's obligated. As a king, that was one of the things when they set up a kingdom and they had people there that the world would call subjects or the citizens, the welfare of those people was a reflection upon the king. We saw that when we went over the scriptures the other week with Queen Sheba. She came, she says, I heard about it, but until I saw it with my own eyes, I had no clue. They didn't tell me half of what I see now. So there's rights and privileges as being a citizen of the kingdom. How many of you know that too many times we live our life like the elder brother of the prodigal son? Why don't we go ahead and turn over there to Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, I think is where it is. Luke 15, probably about, we'll start in verse 11, see if that's close. Yeah, that's it. It said, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain, or would have given his heart, have filled his belly with the husk that he fed the swine. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to eat or to spare, and here I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. And when he was a great way off, his father saw him, and he had compassion and ran and fell upon his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto the father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost, and now he's found. And they began to make merry. We can see that at the beginning, we can see this correlation between it and Genesis, where God created in the perfect environment, and the sons were there. Yet one decided that he was going to go a different route. And that would have been just like Adam. Instead of following along with the kingdom, he decided he's going to do his own thing. And so we see that it didn't work out real well for him. And he began to eat what? He began to eat pig food. Okay? He ate what the hogs ate. He joined himself to another country. He became basically a citizen of a foreign land, not the kingdom. His daddy's kingdom. And you can see how all that worked. But the father's love towards him was always there. And it said him when he came to himself. How did he come to himself? Well, when he had all the distractions removed and he could see himself for who he was. When he began to see, you know what? I had it better back home. My daddy was this way. Yet he's been living a different lifestyle. And so he kind of, his behavior and his habits started living and acting like something different. And he came to the end of himself and he said, wait a minute. And that's what I think a lot of this is taking place right now in 2020. We've been able to take a good look at us, where we are. What are we really seeking after? The king or what we can get from the king? We don't have to look to try to get anything. He's already given it. So now we can just spend our time loving the Father and receiving from him, you know, wisdom and so forth that way, fellowshipping with him. So as we do this, we could have stopped with just that portion of the parable. Jesus could have stopped there, and it would have been a marvelous, marvelous work for people to be able to read and see how the Father loves his sons, even when they misbehave, even when they basically threw it in his face and left home and went against everything his father stood with. He did every bit of that, right? But yet he came back. And he says, I'll just be a servant instead of a son. Daddy, I'm not worthy to be your son. Let me just be your servant. And what was the father? What was the father's attitude? This is our father's attitude, our king. He says, No. I saw you when you was coming. I've been looking for you for a long time. Every day I go out there and look out and see if you're coming. Every morning, every night. Always got an eye looking in that direction, seeing if my son will come home. He said, and I saw you, and I ran out there and met you and kissed you, and I ordered the servants to go and get you the best robe, the chief robe, the robe that represents who you are, which is my son. And place a ring of authority and rule and reign on his hand. And he did all of this. And he said, Daddy, I don't deserve to be called your son. Just let me be your servant. He didn't have any. No, we're not doing that. No. I'm not interested in what you did. You're here. You're alive. And we're going to celebrate. Let's go get the fatted calf, the one that's been setting up for a special occasion. Can't think of a better one. This is it. And so they began to do that. See, we come back to the Father sometimes with this attitude after we've lived our life in this world. We come back that if we could just be a servant in heaven, if we could just be a servant in heaven, we'd have it better off than a slave here on earth. Like I said, Jesus could have stopped there, but he went on in verse 25. And let's read it. Now his elder son was in the field, and he came and he drew nigh into the house, and he heard music and dancing. And he called one of his servants, and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore the father came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I do serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I could make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said to his son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and now is found. You see, we live sometimes like the elder brother. We own it all. We get up. We go out there. We work right alongside of the servants. We go and we do all these things. It's always about that. Like maybe one day when daddy dies, I'll take the fatted calf and we'll have a party for my friends. See, he never really saw himself in relationship with his father. He didn't know his father. But he abided by all the rules. He never did anything against the father. He went out there and worked hard every day like a servant. He lived with a servant's mentality, yet he was the son himself, heir of all of it. He said, you're the heir of all. It's everything I have is yours. You could have at any time done this. Well, I would have been thrilled to have your friends over. I got plenty. Yet we live our life sometimes like the elder brother. We know who he is, yet we live like a servant. Are you following me? And we need to guard ourselves over that type of thinking, because that's easy to get in us. The citizens is responsible to submit to the king, and it's their submission that keeps them in right standing with the king, and it's called righteousness. In Matthew's Gospel 6:33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, what things was he talking about? Without turning over there, he was talking about, he says, well, maybe we should. Just go ahead and turn over to Matthew 6, and I think we'll go about verse 19. Yeah, that's a good place. No, we'll start 25. And if you get time, you can go home, you can go backwards, because anytime you start a sentence with therefore, we need to really go back to see what it's there for. Okay? But it says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet your body, what you should put on. Is not your life more than meat, and your body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit into his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. lost my spot. And how they till not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? O ye of little faith, therefore take no thought, be anxious about it, not in the least bit, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You know, people live and they work and they do all these things to try to be able to gather things in their life. And he says, I've already provided all of those things. I already know that you have need of it. I knew it before you were ever created that you were going to have needs of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God. All this will come to you. I love the way it said it in Luke's gospel in chapter 12, verse 32, at the same passage there. He said, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's how he concluded this same passage of Scripture. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So the things that you're looking for, the food, your clothing, your housing, and all that, is part of the kingdom. And he said it's good. He finds great pleasure, good pleasure in giving it to you. He's giving it to you. Yet we walk around thinking that we're a bunch of vagabonds or hired hands instead of who we really are, which is royalty. Amen? So, let's see. Where do I want to go to? Go to Galatians chapter 1. No, chapter 4. We'll start in verse 1. It says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differ nothing more from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might have received the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Everywhere we turn through the Scriptures, we'll find reference of sonship, not servants. And we need to begin to see ourselves on a daily basis as sons, instead of servants, trying to earn our way in to what he's already freely given. Let's go quickly to Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm going to read through this real quickly, and I'm going to pull one of Kim Clout's little tricks. Everybody on this side say past. Everybody over here say tense. Let's try it one time.
Past.
Oh, that's real good. All right. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Do we have anybody here that is faithful in Christ Jesus? Amen. So this was written to us, right? Okay, good deal. It says, grace, or the empowerment, be to you, and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, it says, now I want you to see position as we're reading through this. I want you to see position. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, which is what?
Past.
Yeah. Let's try it again. The word hath is past tense, so it is. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. It's right there. Before the world was ever created, this was already taken care of. All of this, as we keep reading, he has blessed you, already has he blessed you. He's already chosen us before he ever made the earth, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us would be what? Unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath already did it, made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have, which is redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and that which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise and glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that you have heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. It's already been done. Wherein the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love for all, unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, mentioning you in my prayers, that the way that God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of glory may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of his glory in his inheritance to his saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over the things of the church, to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that is filled all in all. Now, what's good about this is this. He's already done it. We receive what he's done. When we come to the Lord, we receive it. And from that very moment, that salvation moment, you became heir with all rights and privileges of it. Problem is we don't have the knowledge of what those rights and privileges are. And that's what he says, that the eyes of our understanding would be open to all the things that he already said, that before the foundation of the earth you were chosen. I had this thing set up from the very get-go. I knew that Adam was going to fall. I knew all of these things. I'm God. I set this whole thing up to where you can choose and be who you are, my sons. Are you seeing this? And if we're not careful, we're always working towards something that's already been done instead of receiving what he's already done. Chapter 2, he says, and you hath he made alive. He's already made you alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We all did this. This is foundational. The book of Ephesians is one of the greatest books. I mean, it's like reading the whole Bible in six chapters. If you're lazy and you want to get the whole picture at one time, just read Ephesians. And just keep reading it over and over and over. Because in chapter 1, we read about the Father's plan. Chapter 2, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses, the work, the implementation of the plan, which was Jesus. Chapter 3, you'll see that it was the Holy Spirit that will reveal chapters 1 and 2. Chapters 4, 5, and 6 was talks about taking off the old culture, the old man, and putting on the new kingdom culture. It tells how that, you know, how husbands to love their wives and wives to submit to their husbands and children to obey their parents. And it's a laying out all of it out. And then in right there at the beginning of it in chapter 4, he's saying, and God gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why? So that they can teach you chapter 1, 2, and 3 and explain to you how you're to live in 4, 5, and 6 according to chapters 1, 2, and 3. Are you seeing this? Quit trying to work for what he's already done. Receive who you are. Don't be the elder brother. Because in chapter 2 here, man, we see that we all missed it, right? We were all walking according to the course of the world. We were that son that left home. We've come back. In verse 5 it says, and when you were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Well, let me back up just a second. I'm not going to skip it. Okay. According to whom we all had our conversations in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace or by empowerment, you're saved, and hath raised us up together. Notice again, two times, past tense, right? He says, he hath quickened us, past tense, when we weren't even here yet, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show us the exceeding richness of grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you're saved through faith. The citizens of the kingdom of God. That's why I've said it before, and it's really easy for us to grab a hold of, is that we're not going to get more saved when we get to heaven. You don't get there if you're not saved. It's already happened. But we have a tendency sometimes to see through the wrong lens on everyday living. Academically, yes, this is who I am. Maybe can even quote those. Yes, we're sitting in heavenly places. Yet we live our life. We talk, we think, we behave, not as a son, but as a servant, striving to become what we already are. Missing time and time again on who we are. And I think what the Lord is doing, being that the earth is in that time frame right now of his return, we should be staying focused on his return. What's really important? Where are we really? God's given us everything for us to enjoy. He says he's given it richly to us to enjoy everything. He doesn't have a problem with you having a good time. But we need to stay focused. And you know the thing about dominion? If you go back and you read it, and we didn't have time today, but if you go back and read back through chapters 1 in Genesis, you'll see that he had dominion over every single thing that was created, except man. We don't have dominion over each other. We don't have dominion over man. But we have dominion over all creeping things, dominion over everything that you can see in the natural realm, we have dominion over, but not man. Did you get that? Every head bowed and eye closed, nobody looking around. You may be here this morning and say, you know, Pastor, I can relate to the fact that I know these scriptures, I've heard them all my life. Yet I continue to live my life based as an elder son. And the Lord says to you this morning, I want you to enjoy life. I want you to get to know me for who I really am. You spent so much time out being with the servants that you hadn't really got to know me. Been trying to make a living, trying to make me happy, trying to be productive. And I appreciate all that working, but you're not a servant, you're a son. I don't need what you can do. I want you to receive what I've done. And if that's you that's walked around and with this type of thinking, the Lord said, let's work on this. It's not going to happen overnight. Salvation happened overnight, just a twinkling of an eye. But a conversion from a servant mentality to a son mentality takes longer than overnight. Because we're dealing with changing habits, beliefs, behavior. And the Lord says, I've got time. Just look to me. Just look to me. Let's do it together. That's what the Lord's looking for. Let's do it together. Lord, I just thank you for the people today that's watching online. Those that are here in the presence in the sanctuary today, I thank you, Lord, for them. Now declare them blessed according to your word. Blessed coming in, blessed going out. Health, prosperity to them according to your word. Freedom. Freedom. Freedom from the bondage of this world. Freedom from the course of this world and the culture of this world. Freedom. Freedom. Freedom being theirs. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Have a great week.